If anything, it has become more relevant. Ancient entitlements are trampled underfoot by what is called the new economics, which is, of course, anything but new. But this is done in the name of progress. Progress through innovation, or in the name of development. These are all mantras that hide the concern, hide the notion that there is money to be made. And when money is to be made, you can't be slowed down by the inconvenience of weak and vulnerable people with ancient rights. They are run over by bulldozers, or they are taken out of the way by a clean court writ, or they are buried under a rubble of stones. A practical example: the Swiss giant Nestlé is the world's leading nutrition, health, and wellness company. It makes a staggering amount of profit, some of you would say an obscene amount of money, by the sale of bottled water. And this is by no means their only product. They're all over the place. You don't even realize how big this company is. Well, they have a time-honored record of buying the rights to local wells in order to raise their production sites directly over the well, thus blocking access of locals to obtain clean drinking water. Many protesters, even protesters in the USA, complain about the company's invasive ecological mining that has depleted precious groundwater resources in arid places such as Arizona, for example. In Africa, as you know, access to clean water is a matter of life and death. And in many places, people walk 6 hours one way to come home with a canister of water, clean water. Now, a recent documentation, which I witnessed while in Germany, critically examined Nestlé's policies on a newer production site in South Africa. The project, by the way, this is very interesting, was spawned by a lawsuit against Nestlé in Switzerland for issuing threats, life threats, against investigating reporters, and for surveilling them, tabbing their telephones, and so invading their privacy. These are not things that only happen in Hollywood movies. Well, on this site in South Africa, Nestlé workers can take home 1 liter of bottled water per day for their families. And on a particular day of the week, the company makes water available free of charge for the informal settlement near its or in its neighborhood. The water is released through a rusty pipe just under a highway overpass about 3 or 4 miles away from this settlement. All this looks clean and good, even humanitarian, but in reality, many of the locals who don't work for the giant have lost their free access to the well water. And they, that is the families that are impacted, they are forced to extreme measures to obtain drinking water. Nestlé controls the access to water at will. Water is life. This is not an isolated case. The capacity of large economic, political, and even military operations to be heedless about what is local and poor and weak, well, that is a known fact. From the incursion of grocery stores of aircraft carrier size into settled neighborhoods to the large-scale deforestation of the Brazilian rainforest, there have always been and there will always be those who remove ancient landmarks. And I am not saying that every one of those ventures fulfills our case. That is not true, but many of them do. In the end, we all know that business is about profit. It's not a charitable venture. Business is about profit, cold, hard dollars. Business, therefore, is about the survival of the fittest. And those who will not follow or subscribe to new patterns forfeit their right to exist. The rationale for such enterprises has always been the same, and once again, will always be. We are creating jobs. We are rebuilding houses. And when all is said and done, the rising tide of business will raise all boats. This will be good for everyone. This is progress. Progress through innovation. But a text like this one puts developers on notice. Having said all this, we are here to preach the gospel and not merely to vent our ecological concerns. And the meaning of the text, therefore, runs much, much deeper than this surface level. Remember that according to the book of Deuteronomy, this land, Canaan, that Yahweh promised to give to Israel was to be the locus in which the covenantal relationship between God and his people was to unfold. Think of the land as a stage on which this relationship is to be played out. Here God would bless his people through the yield of the land that was fruitful, and here the people would worship God and only God in return. Infringement of land rights is therefore an indirect attack on a person's relationship with God by preventing one from enjoying the divine blessings which are his or her right by covenant. Numbers 33, verse 54, makes this promise: you shall inherit this land according to your families by lot. Give a large lot to a large tribe and give a small lot to a small tribe. However, wherever the lot falls for anyone, that shall be his. That shall be his. This is a divine, inviolable grant. Each family, each tribe obtains an inheritance from the Lord. And it is in that plot of land that the family is to cultivate, or the tribe is to cultivate, its relationship with Yahweh. Stealing land, therefore, interferes with this. Anyone who does such a thing to his neighbor assumes the role of the Canaanites, who never tired to, at least try to, take away Israel's land. God's response will be accordingly: I will do to you as I thought to do to them. And it is no wonder, therefore, that Deuteronomy 27, verse 17, includes the stealing of land, that is, the removal of ancient landmarks, as an offense that incurs the curses of the covenant. Cursed be anyone who removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. The key word of our text is inheritance. Inheritance. And it sets a theological signal. It is supercharged with theological meaning. Because of its abundant use, it is one of the key words, one of the key terms in the book of Deuteronomy. It defines the book of Deuteronomy as to its content and meaning. The word inheritance points to what God has promised in his word and confirmed by covenant. Inheritance. Just as an inheritance is confirmed by a will with certain legal implications, so also God's inheritance to his people is confirmed by his word, established by covenant. And recall also that God's promise to Abraham, this is where the story began for Israel, God's promise to Abraham included the gift of land from the very beginning. There was an inheritance in God's mind. However, the concept of a divine inheritance has cosmic eschatological implications. It goes well beyond the land of Canaan and that inheritance. God created the heavens and the earth and placed man in it. Human beings were never meant to be disembodied spirits or those who long for the day of the redemption of their spirits from this prison that we sometimes think our bodies to be. Human beings have always meant to be bodily creatures, body and spirit, and they always will be. And we are meant, therefore, to live in a real world, a creation. The right to this indispensable sphere in which human beings must exist and thrive by divine decree, by divine design, the right to this inheritance was lost in the fall. Satan stole it, so to speak, from us when he caused Adam and Eve to violate God's covenant. Now, the world still exists, and so do human beings, but we can't stay here. None of us can. We've lost the right to the inheritance. That is, lost the right to live in this world forever, an inviolable right that we lost. And the world won't remain either. And this is where the promise of the gospel comes into view. The promise of the gospel reverses the effects of the fall and the loss of the inheritance. The promise of the gospel is of a new world, an inheritance that will never again be lost. 1 Peter 1:4 calls it an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. God wants to give to his people this inheritance in much the same way that he promised to give the land of Canaan to the people of Israel under the old covenant. Now, anyone who interferes by keeping people away from, or anyone who interferes by robbing people of the enjoyment of the inheritance will not go unpunished. Deuteronomy 4 verse 2 says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it." Revelation 22:18 closes the biblical canon, the Bible, with the same warning. This is God's covenant. This is God's word, and no one shall tamper with it. The same goes for the enjoyment of the covenantal blessings contained in the word, contained in the canon, that come to us in the form of God's promises. Once again, much the same way that the promises were made to ancient Israel, including the land. But there have always been those who removed landmarks and stole blessings in the kingdom of God. Jesus, for example, castigated the Pharisees for keeping the people from enjoying the blessing of the kingdom. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in." And how, if I may ask, how did they manage to do this? How did they shut the kingdom in people's faces? By taking away from the word of God. By changing the landmark. By redefining the boundaries of the covenant so that the promised blessings were obscured, effaced, or even removed. Ancient landmarks can be removed in more than one way: preaching a false gospel, is perhaps the most insidious. In fact, it is the most insidious because it always has eternal consequences. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Colossians 2:18 warns those who had listened to false teachers advocating asceticism and a set of Jewish traditions, Jewish observances without holding the head as Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone disqualify you. The gospel still promises us an inheritance. The inheritance is promised to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we are already complete, and it is in Jesus Christ that, as Colossians 1:12 says, God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Inheritance. It is therefore my and your responsibility not only to respect the boundaries of the gospel, conceived as a landmark, we must also be diligent lest we keep our children or others from enjoying the blessings of the covenant by not teaching or instructing consistently or by failure to live and model the gospel for others to see and learn from and to be encouraged by it. The prohibition of our text thus also implies a proactive stance. We not only preserve or we keep our hands off the landmark of a neighbor, but we seek to actively procure the enjoyment of God's covenantal blessings. And this is not a command that says, I mind my business, you mind yours. I won't touch your landmark, and you're not going to touch mine. We will always be responsible for the well-being of our neighbor. Conceived in terms of concentric circles, this is the widest, the biggest circle around this prohibition. Positively, to be responsible for the well-being of your neighbor, and that really means to enjoy the blessings of God's inheritance. In the end, and in the most general sense as well, this word addresses our greed, covetousness. Expressed in a different way, we could say our fear of not having or getting enough. The fear of not having or getting enough. Of Gandhi, the leader of India's independence movement, it is said that he once lost one of his sandals while boarding a train. So he took off the other sandal and threw it out of the window of the moving train. Perplexed, his friends asked him, "What for?" And he said, "Why should I walk around with one sandal? Whoever finds both has a complete pair and can walk around in them." But it is true, isn't it, that we hold on to or we seize, we take things that in the end are not good for us, not good for others either. Better to let go and to trust God's ruling. His right to govern our lives is, after all, the most fundamental, the most prominent, the most important, and the most ancient boundary of all. Don't move the markers. Any questions or comments about the sermons?